This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Happy Monday to you and yours. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton producing this thing, taking you up until 6 o'clock. I did not have access to my Twitter account for a week. I don't expect many of you to care about that, but when you don't have Twitter, you start to realize like really cool things. And they just magically reappear. Rob, did you know right now that there is an Olympic minigame on Google.com? I had no clue until today. I went on Google and I saw this button and it was shiny and orange and basically said, click me. I clicked it and I ended up playing this like mythical track and field game for like 30 minutes at my computer. Did you know this? Did everybody know this? I used to know this when I had Twitter. I was up. I was hip. I was current. I did not know this until I randomly went on Google today.
Welcome back to Land of Living, pal. I mean, now you're just experiencing the internet for the first time all over again.
It was amazing. There was this website that basically was a portal to all the information that I had. I don't use that nearly as much anymore since I had access when I had access to my Twitter account. So we have a lot of things to get into in today's show. Where I would like to start is we are less than a week away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And I'll be completely open with you. I have been unwilling to have the conversation about Whit Merrifield being traded. I don't think the Royals really have given us much of an indication of that's something that they're serious about doing. Sure, there's media blurbs that pop up and there's little smoke and little innuendo, but for the most part, the Royals, whenever pressed or asked about Whit Merrifield, have always said he's a part of our future, he's a part of our plan, we're not trading Whit Merrifield. But this is the first week that I can remember since Whit Merrifield has been the All-Star, one of the top 50 hitters in baseball, that I believe on Friday we could be having the conversation that Whit Merrifield is no longer a member of the Kansas City Royals. He was asked about that last week on Cody and Gold. Here's what he had to say.
It's to the point where it's, you know, it's almost like certain things I go through in baseball. Like, you know, I go through slumps, go through things you learn how to deal with. I've been through this, I don't know, three or four times now, and I've learned how to deal with it, and the way to deal with it is just not to think about it or put any stock into it, because one, there's a lot of people that think they know what's going on that don't know what's going on, but like to talk like they know what's going on. And I've learned that majority of the time, all that stuff is just wrong. So it's, I just don't really listen to what people have to say, because you know what the rumors are and what is really going on with conversations about me, most of the time are different. So I just go and try to keep playing my game, keep my head down, and you know, if there's a time that Dayton and the front office feel like trading me is beneficial for this organization, then you know they're gonna do what's best for Kansas City, and there's nothing I can do about that really. So I'm just gonna keep going and playing and enjoying my time here, enjoying being around my teammates, and come July 31st, if I'm still here, great. If they decide to trade me, then you know that's great too, because that means Kansas City's getting better.
You could tell based on the tone of the answer to the question, Whit is thinking about it, It has been a conversation that he has had between him and his agent, and it can't be something that you completely ignore. Whit Merrifield has, I would say, dedicated his career to being a member of the Kansas City Royals. He has been in this organization his entire career. He signed a massive deal with this team. Not massive, relatively speaking, but when you didn't really touch or see real money and then someone offers you $16 million guaranteed, I would consider that to be a massive contract. But when it comes even further to Whit Merrifield, let's talk about what trading Whit Merrifield would mean. And I know it is sacrilege to question Dayton Moore, but this to me is an undeniable fact. It's not an opinion at this point. It's an undeniable fact. If the Royals trade Whit Merrifield by the end of the week, Dayton is waving a white flag. He is waving the white flag of, we are not close to figuring this thing out. I think part of what has shielded Dayton from any level of criticism outside of the World Series is there's always been a somewhat defined timeline of, oh, well, we should be good by X. Well, then they're not good by that time. So then they kick the can down the road. Oh, well, Bobby Witt Jr. is coming up. They'll be good by then. And I think that's the game that we're currently playing right now. This season is a lost year for all intents and purposes. But next year, you bring back Whit Merrifield, you bring back Salvador Perez. We expect Bobby Witt Jr. to be called up. We'll have a more traditional offseason, so hopefully you develop some pitching. There's no reason to be down on the 2022 Kansas City Royals. But there is if Whit Merrifield's not there. If the Royals trade Whit Merrifield this week, it will be them admitting that they've gotten it wrong in their steps of the rebuild. Because the rebuild is not trading a player effectively 200 games into his contract. Witt signed that deal in 2019. The 2020, let's go ahead and scratch that, doesn't matter. And now we're talking about you have 3 more years of club control. This year, 2022, and 2023. They don't owe Whit Merrifield anything after this season. If you combine what the Royals owe Whit Merrifield for the last 2 years of his deal, it is $9.1 million for a guy who we think is an all-star, a guy who we think is one of the more versatile players in Major League Baseball. That's a nothing deal. He's also one of your foundational pieces. He's also a player that you're building around, a face of your organization. A guy that sells tickets, sells merch. People go out to the ballpark because they want to see Whit Merrifield. If the Royals are in the business of trading a player like that at the deadline of a lost season, that's Dayton telling you we're not close. There's no way to spin it to me, the consumer, that you're going to be good in 2022 if Whit Merrifield's not here and we have to wait for prospects to develop. I think we're talking not even good in 2023 if that's the case. And if you really want to play this domino effect game, if Whit Merrifield isn't going to be here, what's the purpose of Carlos Santana? Carlos Santana was signed for a 2-year deal. He was a, we're supposed to take that big step forward in 2021 and win 78 games. And then in 2022, we feel like we can compete and be over 500 and potentially grab one of those wild card spots. In theory, that's why you sign a player like that. But if Witt's not going to be here, then what are we doing? Carlos Santana, grab your things. Danny Duffy, grab your things. Salvador Perez then becomes a possibility. If you trade Whit Merrifield, it is an indication that we are potentially breaking this entire thing down. Not chipping away parts from it, but completely tearing it down. I don't know how anybody could view a possible trade of Whit Merrifield as really anything else. Josh Vernier was on Fesco in the Morning earlier today. Here's what he said.
If they trade Whit Merrifield, that's the white flag on 2022. So while everyone's waiting for the breaking news or for the tips one way or the other, if it happens, that's the smoke signal that next year is going to be all about, once again, developing these young arms and allowing Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado to stretch their legs in the big leagues a little.
Rob, how do we continuously find ourselves in this place with the Kansas City Royals? How do we find ourselves potentially at a place where we are heading into training camp, the trade deadline is less than a week away, we're not having conversations on a day-to-day basis about the game that they are about to play or any potential or future series, and the conversation is solely around trading one of your franchise players and or the development of young players and calling up rookies? How many times have we been at this place before? This certainly isn't the first time we've done this with a player of Whit Merrifield's status. Now, I want to be clear. It's not saying that you can't ever be good after trading a player like Whit Merrifield. Part of what happened in 14 and 15 was based off of trading Zach Greinke. But they traded Zach Greinke when? 2010? Heading into the 2011 season? It took them 2 years to have a winning record after that. Then obviously 14 and 15 happened. So that's when it starts. And you got to also factor that Whit Merrifield's not getting you the same caliber of prospect that Zach Greinke is getting you. We're talking about a guy who won Cy Young, a guy who's in the prime of his career. He got you two top flight A-chip prospects. Whit's going to give you a nice haul, but Whit's not getting you back the return in theory that you think Zach Greinke. So a guy who ended up starting for you at center field in the World Series and a guy who ended up being your shortstop in the World Series, we don't think Whit's getting you that level of return. Whit is more valuable to the Royals than he is to the other organizations out there. He is your shortcut back to relevance. And being a 500 team in 2022, you're not doing that without Whit Merrifield. So today's show starts with, I have been unwilling over the last 2 years to have the conversation about Whit Merrifield being traded because I always thought it was much more media hype and media smoke than actual based in true reporting of Whit being traded. I don't think that's the case anymore. Either you can hear it in Whit's tone, the rumors and the smoke is starting to change. There is a chance, there is a percentage chance that Whit Merrifield is not a member of the Kansas City Royals come 3 o'clock on Friday. And if that's the case, we got to have a serious conversation about Dayton Moore and is he the right person to lead this rebuild back to this team being a competitive baseball team. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up on the other side, we'll pour out a little liquor for the Big 12. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So what we knew was going to happen last week has now been made official. Texas and Oklahoma have made it official. They will not be renewing their grant of media rights with the Big 12. That means after 2025, they will be free to join another conference. It is expected that they will join the SEC. So to basically summarize all of that in 15 seconds, they are tied to the Big 12 from a media rights standpoint, television-wise, until 2025. If they decide to break their lease in this example, you have to pay out a certain amount of money because that's what the conference would have received if you were in the conference. If you pay that penalty, you can then leave conferences and you can then join the SEC. That's the very simple way of explaining it, but there certainly is a lot of lawyers and litigations. We're talking about $2 billion entities changing hands. I don't know if you can do that by simply just saying, all right, we're out of here. There certainly will be a legal fight. There was a report earlier today that the Big 12 was trying to basically offer more money to Oklahoma and Texas to entice them in staying. One of the reasons that Nebraska left and Missouri left the conference and A&M left the conference is the Big 12 feels so beholden to Texas, more so than I think Oklahoma, that they are willing to make themselves look like fools to get them to commit when Texas has shown no reason to believe that they were ever going to commit to the Big 12. Texas stayed in the Big 12 back in 2011 out of necessity. It also stayed in because you were going to offer them something that no one else was going to offer them. Texas was not going to get a Longhorn network from any other conference. And instead of the group standing up to Texas and telling them no, which would be the first time that any team in the Big 12, Big 8, or the old Southwestern Conference had ever told Texas no, then Texas was going to then hang it over your head and then flirt with the Pac-12 and then flirt with the SEC. But that time is now past. And in the midst of everything that's happening, they need a little bit more. And the Big 12 is like, sure, we'll give it to you. It's over. Rob, it's over. It hurts me to say that because I love the Big 12. If you grew up in this part of the country, you remember being in elementary school or junior high or high school and watching the Big 8, Big 12 tournaments, going down to the Big 12 tournaments or down at Kemper Arena. Big 12 athletics is in our blood. It's in our DNA. It's who we are as a city. But it's over. You're not replacing that same feeling with Houston and Cincinnati. I had a guest on my national show over the weekend, and he was saying that the Big 12 should really go after UCF to tackle the Tampa and Orlando market. It's over. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody knows what's going to happen with this conference, what the next play is for the Big 12. But I know what Kansas needs to be doing, and Kansas needs to be figuring out, are we going to the Pac-12 or the Big 10? Because this isn't a viable conference for us long term. That's what I'd be doing if I'm Kansas. If I'm K-State, I'm just trying to find anybody that wants us. I'm trying to find a home for us. I don't know where that home's going to be, but I'm trying to find a home for us. Because your current home is being pillaged. It's being pillaged right now for your two biggest entities and highest properties. It's over. There was no saving it. Oklahoma and Texas are too far gone. They're too far down the road. There is no saving the Big 12. There is no bringing it back. There's no replacing what you potentially lost. Rob, when you think of the Big 12, and you certainly have much more fond memories of the Big 12 than I have, what do you think of? Because my lasting Big 12 memory is always going to be back in 2007, back when they had, you know, a Big 12 North and a Big 12 South. There was this just little-known program named Missouri that just ran through the Big 12 North. They beat all the teams in the Big 12 North. Then they went to the Big 12 championship game, and they lost. Oklahoma was a really good team that year. Oklahoma gave Missouri fits. They give a lot of programs fits. They're one of the five best programs in college football. It then came time for bowl decisions. It came time for business meetings. And you know what happened? It was stolen away from them. Their opportunity to compete in the BCS was stolen from them. That's what I remember most about the Big 12. Always feeling like we got the short end of the stick. Always feeling like the conference didn't look out for us. I'm sure Missouri's not the only team in the Big 12 that has that story. Nebraska probably feels that way. A&M probably feels that way. And that's why we decided to be in a relationship with somebody else. But what I remember most about being in the Big 12 is always feeling inadequate, feeling like the conference didn't have our best interest. You know what the SEC always has? Your best interest. They're always thinking in the best interest of everybody. No one institution is bigger than the group. One for all and all for one. That's not the case in the Big 12. My lasting memories of the Big 12 are twofold. It's A, having the Orange Bowl stolen away from Missouri. And two, when Missouri finally decided that we're leaving this hellhole and they won their last official Big 12 game. Oh, it was something special about Shane SEC right there at Sprint Center. You remember Chuck Ninus at the time, him having to hand the Big 12 tournament championship trophy to Kim English and Frank Haith. That's a memory I hold very dear to my heart. The Missouri fans that were in attendance, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Chin SEC the last 5 minutes of that game and rubbing it in their face that we were leaving is a memory that I'll hold near and dear. Now, we didn't win the Big 12 in football. We didn't win the Big 12 in basketball while they were in there. But God, I had some great memories being in that conference.
My lasting memory is the Big 12 tournament too. Now, unlike your school, my school wins that tournament all the time. Even though it's the Iowa State Invitational, Kansas wins it more times than not. But just Power and Light was a different vibe. It was probably one of the handful of times a year Power and Light's really exceptional because the Big 12 tournament, always a packed house. Crowds, bands, everyone. There's a little contingent of Texas fans. It's just, it was a great time. The Big 12 tournament, when they were 12, was an elite time. Just an incredible time with all 12 schools packed in there. And when they dropped to 10, it was still fun. I mean, West Virginia fans and TCU fans didn't show up, but it was still a good time. Eight teams came in. That's my lasting memory is the Big 12 tournament. And as part of the Big 12 tournament, there's that Phillips 66 gas pump mascot that pops out at halftime of all those games. Dumbest looking thing of all time, but it's hilarious to me. I only see the Big 12 tournament. The other lasting memory I have, and I'm not a K-State fan, nor I pretend to be one, but I will always remember when Oklahoma brought Big Bad Oklahoma to Arrowhead and little K-State gave them the beats. Darren Sproles smoked that team. And that day, the Big 12 did have someone's back because they made sure Oklahoma made the national title game despite getting absolutely smoked at Arrowhead by the Cats.
I don't know who we need to talk to for this idea. Maybe Kathy Nelson's the person to talk to. Why don't we just replace the CBE and once all of these teams are in different conferences, have a conference tournament or have a tournament that brings them all back? Like, we have a preseason tournament already in Kansas City. It's around the holidays. It's always right before Thanksgiving. There's a chance that Kansas and Kansas State are no longer in the same tournament. They might need a neutral place to play. You know what would be a great neutral place to play? The T-Mobile Center. Kansas State and Iowa State might not be in the same conference after this season. You know what would be a really good thing for them to do? Play each other at the T-Mobile Center. Why don't we rebrand the CBE that no one cares about in Kansas City? And do like a holiday invitational tournament where Missouri, Iowa State, K-State, KU, they all can play each other right there at Sprint. You know there's gobs of money out there for everybody in that scenario. You know Ames is coming to that. You know Manhattan's going to travel. KU thinks that Sprint Center is now Allen Fieldhouse East, even though they lose like 40% of their games there. It could be a fun thing for everybody.
What is that incorrect stat? I don't know where that comes from. That seems like hating to hate.
No, I'm not hating. I will say this. You know I've been to a lot of KU games. You know that. I've never seen them play a competitive game at Allen whenever I've gone. I've seen them lose at Sprint Center at least 5 or 6 times. I've seen them lose. I can like detail tell you when they've lost at Sprint Center. I was there. I was at the game they lost to Washington. I was at the game they lost to Syracuse. Remember when Johnny Flynn gave your boy.
Yeah, Sharon, he gave
buckets. I can vividly remember the game at Sprint Center. I've seen him lose. I saw him lose to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament championship game. Now, they win a lot at Sprint Center. Don't get me wrong, but they be losing a lot too. Your team be losing a lot at Sprint Center too. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers and how a lot of June is huffing and puffing in the NFL. We'll talk about it coming up in a little bit. But I want to give you guys an opportunity to win a small prize. A small prize. 913-576-7610. So for those of you that follow me on the Twitter machine, Tuesday morning, I do my normal routine. You wake up. You wipe the coal out your eye. You go to the bathroom. You come back and you lay in bed and you scroll social media and Twitter to simply see what's going on. So, Rob, I'm on there, I'm reading. And next thing I know, my social media account, it logs me out and it is then deleted off my phone. So I did not have access to my social media account. So I'm thinking, huh, this is funny. So then I get on the computer and I try to log in. They changed my password. They changed the email address it was associated to. I had no access to my Twitter account. And then over the weekend, they're tweeting out Bitcoin scams and DMing people weird stuff. I mean, it was a rough 4 or 5 days for me on these Twitter streets, which then got me thinking, what's the worst hack, identity theft that some of you have gone through and experienced? This was around Christmas a couple of years ago. I always check my online banking after this moment. I'm on there and I noticed that a substantial amount of money is missing. I'm like, huh, that's weird. Somebody went to Neiman Marcus down in Dallas, Texas and had a great time. I'm like, this wasn't me. I wasn't in Dallas, Texas. I wasn't in Neiman Marcus popping big tags. Now, I will say Commerce Bank looked out for me and I got the money back in about 3 or 4 days. But that 72 hours of not having the $1,400 was not fun. Was a little stressful. I was a little worried if I was going to get it back, but Commerce had my back. What's the worst hack or identity theft that you've been through, Rob?
I don't know if it counts as a hack, but when I was in college, my dumb friends put my car on Craigslist. So I'm sitting in the dorms studying, you know, getting right for a test coming up. You know how I did, drinking. But I was mostly just sitting there. All of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up. And this is back before spam calls were like really a thing. So I'm getting all these calls from 913-816-785 blowing up my phone. And I answer all of them wondering, like, what's wrong? And each of them's like, a couple people just call in. They're like, hey, I'm thinking a certain amount for your car. And I'm like, oh, no. I hang up on them. I keep getting call after call after call. Eventually, one guy's like, dude, if you don't want to sell, take it off Craigslist. That's not how this is supposed to go down. I check Craigslist. I see my car with all my information up there. I storm down the hall to my friend's dorm and I'm like, get it off Craigslist. But for about 10 minutes there, I was fielding calls about my car, which was not for sale.
Everybody has had some form of that where you just randomly get a bunch of calls and you're selling puppies or giving away free puppies. That's part of friendship. It's not a fun day experience of what you have to live with, but everybody's number at some point has been on Craigslist and you have given something away. I'll tell you a story. I got scammed, and we'll take some texts, and I'll give somebody a T-shirt on the other side. So I wanted to go to this concert. So I was on Craigslist, and the guy had tickets at a good price. It was a little bit cheaper than what they were going for on StubHub, so it wasn't like one of those, it was too good to be true kind of things, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm like, well, how do I know this is real? He's like, oh, well, we can do PayPal. I'm like, well, I need a little bit more than just we can do PayPal. So he sends me a selfie of himself and a picture of his ID. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is a real guy. And he's like, well, you do the same. So I do the same thing. I then send the guy the money. Of course, never hear from the guy again. But it's on PayPal. So I'm like, all right, I can get this money back. It's not that big of a deal. So I end up buying tickets through StubHub, going to the concert, having a good time. After the show, my Facebook is blowing up. I'm like, well, what happened? Like, what did I do? So I check it. That person then used my picture and my information to then keep scamming people. So I had like all these people that were like, how did you do this? I'm reporting you. And I'm like, bro, this happened to me. Look, I'm trying to show you the thing that happened. We've all fallen for the schemes. It happens from time to time. They had me in a Twitter pretzel, though, Rob. They had your boy in a Twitter pretzel on there. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers and how you shouldn't believe anything you hear in the NFL in May and June. It's not real. I'll explain what I mean. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
There's this Jay-Z lyric. Because there's the Jay-Z lyric for everything. That says, believe half of what you see, none of what you hear. The NFL stories that dominate April and May and June are not real. You guys might remember Aaron Rodgers when he was doing all that huffing and puffing. Remember that when he was going on with Kenny Mayne and how he had Schefter and Albert Breer and all those guys doing his dirty work. Remember when he was at the Kentucky Derby and didn't want to talk to the media, but still issued a statement through Mike Tirico, which is talking to the media. Remember that? Aaron Rodgers was emphatic. I'll never play for Green Bay. Trade me. I'll take the Jeopardy job. Well, you know what happened? Training camp rolled around, and you know what his employer told him? If you don't want to come, that's fine. We're hitting you for $50,000 a day until you show up. Okay, boss, I'll be there right on time. What time? 8 o'clock? I'll be there. This happens every time. I sat here in this exact chair on this show and told you the real leverage in the NFL is the willingness to miss things. You remember when Chris Jones did all this too? It was a couple off seasons ago. Chris Jones is mad about his contract and then showed up the first day. If you're not willing to miss anything, then you're not ever going to have the true leverage in an NFL conversation. Aaron Rodgers, he plays quarterback, right? You quarterback should have the most leverage of anybody. First day of camp, Rodgers is there. Deshaun Watson has been playing this passive-aggressive game through the media and reports the entire offseason. He has been doing this. The entire offseason, he has been doing this. Well, what do you know? The first day of camp to avoid $50,000 a day fines, he shows up. But then is like, well, I still want you guys to trade me. Why? You're reporting to work. You're doing the work. We want you on the team. We're not trading you. All of the nonsense that we discussed and talked about was all a waste of everybody's time. Aaron Rodgers was always going to show up to work because A, nobody wants to accrue those level of fines. B, he was mad. So that was the way to voice your frustration to everybody else. And NFL contracts are not designed for you to get out of them if the team wants you to stay. Anybody who's been released in the NFL, the team didn't want them anymore. I know we love to say this. It was a salary cap casualty. They didn't want to keep you on the team bad enough if that was the case. They're willing to absorb the salary cap if you're a player or an asset or it's financially in their favor for you to be on the team. Frank Clark, for example. Let's say that Frank Clark was doing all of these other things and the Chiefs could save $17 million by cutting Frank Clark. You know what would probably happen? Frank Clark wouldn't be on the team. But it's the other way. The Chiefs don't save any money by releasing Frank Clark. In fact, they're out a lot of money. So it's business as usual. He's not talking to the media. This is what we're doing. This entire summer was a complete waste of everybody's time. Listen to Ian Rappaport.
Well, it is news, and it's also the expected outcome really the entire time. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has obviously been frustrated with the organization. We've discussed for really the last several months his lack of trust, his desire to be more involved in the kind of personnel moves that the team makes. All of these things that he has, I would say, pretty clearly expressed his frustration with. Turning down an extension that would have locked him in for many years to come. All of those things. However, with the team not willing at all to trade him and Rodgers not retiring because he likes to play football, this has been the expected outcome. So my understanding is Aaron Rodgers has indicated to people close to him that he plans to play for the Packers this year. Now, the fact that general manager Brian Gutekunst, Mike, said just a couple minutes ago that they are hopeful for a positive outcome, we are finally seeing some optimism in Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers moving forward, a big 24 hours to come.
Aaron Rodgers is going to play this season, and he is going to show up to work every single game because that's what the NFL is designed for you to do. Now, if you want to have this conversation at the end of next season, I am all for having the conversation of Rodgers because then it is in the financial best interest of the Packers to then release him. So this year, to give you an understanding, if Aaron Rodgers had got traded or outright released, which he wouldn't get outright released, but it counts the same, he would count 38.3 against their cap. If he just simply plays on the team, he counts for $37 million against their cap. It makes no business sense for him to be traded away from the Green Bay Packers. Now, next year, when you save $22 million by him playing for another team, and you can still get a first-round pick, multiple first-round picks, because he's Aaron Rodgers, that's when the conversation really starts. But there was never any motivation for Green Bay to trade Aaron Rodgers. Same thing for Deshaun Watson. Has there ever been a player in NFL history in the same circumstances as Deshaun Watson that's been traded? Let's remove the off-the-field stuff, which is certainly a major part of this conversation. But we're talking about a 26-year-old quarterback who just signed an extension. Teams are just trading those guys now? It's like the NBA. This isn't Harden's available or Westbrook's available or LeBron's available for a trade. This is the NFL. There's eight of these guys walking the face of the earth that we have identified as true franchise quarterbacks. They were never releasing that player. It was always a foolish proposition to think that Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson were going to be traded. I expect both of them to play for both of their teams this season, and at the end of the season, we can have that conversation. But I don't think a trade is going down. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about Alex Gordon Day, which was this weekend out at Kauffman Stadium. We'll also talk about the possibility that the Royals could trade Whit Merrifield. But first, Rob, let's get to something good and something bad from the weekend.
Something good.
Rob, before you go, I'm giving my something good back to me getting my Twitter account back. I'm not going to lie to you. I completely underestimated how much I use Twitter. Not even much in a talking to people sense, but just I have Twitter curated perfectly for the news. I go on there every morning, and in 15 minutes, I can be caught up on everything I need to be caught up on. Music, movies, sports, pop culture, shoes, whatever it is. I know exactly what's going on. I miss that. We're sitting here, Rob, and you're like, hey, did you see this tweet from so-and-so? No. The whole DeAndre Hopkins thing, I legitimately didn't know until I came to work. What had happened with DeAndre Hopkins? That wouldn't have happened back in the day. It wouldn't have happened because I saw it in real time. So you know what? I'll have a something good after you go, but I'm giving my first something good this weekend and me getting my Twitter account back.
I'm going to give my something good to friend of the show, Gianluca Busio.
Hey, that's our guy.
Yesterday, in the Gold Cup quarterfinal, the United States won over Jamaica 1-0. Our guy played the full 90, and he is becoming a fixture, a stalwart, a whatever your terminology, in the starting 11 for the U.S. national team in their quest to win gold. I assume he'll play a full 90 on Thursday night against Qatar, and we could see him in the final against possibly, knock on wood, Mexico. Gianluca Busio is showing Kansas City, doing Kansas City proud by playing well in these matches. And you know what? While he's out doing great with the national team, his replacement, Overland Park native, OP, stand up, Cameron Duke, got a nice goal this weekend and played great on Wednesday. So my good is going to go to Kansas City soccer natives. Busio at the national team doing a KC proud, and at the local level, a local kid playing well for the local team.
I'm going to give my something good to anybody who avoids a major car accident on Main Street. That's who I'm giving my good to. If you live in Kansas City, Missouri, or work in Kansas City, Missouri, or just drive downtown to hang out, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is the most confusing thing I've possibly ever experienced. It's like driving on Rainbow Road. You guys remember Mario Kart back in the day and how hard Rainbow Road is? I feel every time I'm on Main Street, I am inches away from a head-on collision. I am one wrong move away from a head-on collision on Main Street. I know it's for the greater good of our city. I know at the end it will be better. But I am here telling you, Patrick Mahomes' kid will be in third grade by the time that all of those cones are taken off Main Street. How old's that baby now? 5 months?
That kid will be driving by the time those cones are gone. Come on now.
That kid will be a starter at Texas Tech. Patrick Mahomes' kid will be having her senior night at Texas Tech University before they're done with the road construction on Main Street. So I know it'll be done at some point. I'm telling you when it'll be done. Patrick Mahomes will be a grandfather by the time that they're done with the construction on Main Street with the way that they're going. They're terrible at it. That's all I got.
That does not sound like it's something good, just for the record.
No, that's something good.
Something bad.
Definitely sound like something bad, just for the record.
Rob, I think you and I are giving our something bad to the exact same thing. Team USA is not winning a medal. The gold is way out of the... No, they're definitely not. This team's not winning three consecutive important games against good teams. That's not happening. They're not getting a medal. Now, I do think some of this is the NBA's fault, and this is why. I do think that the rules have hurt NBA players. I love the NBA. We both love the NBA, Rob. The NBA rewards foul hunting. And the thing is, we as fans, not, I ain't gonna say we, y'all as fans, y'all support that foolishness. And now that the NBA is playing in this thing that isn't going to give them preferential treatment, you got to play straight up. The flailing that you do to get to the free throw line, it ain't working before. It's also a defensive mindset for this team. They were up 7 with 3 minutes to go against France. You got to find a way to win. You can't let Evan Fournier, who was like the 110th best player in the NBA, hit you for a 28 ball. Rudy Gobert was cooking Bam Adebayo. This team just has too many guys that don't have a real purpose. What's Draymond's purpose on this team? What's Jeremy Grant's purpose on this team? This team has a lot of scorers, but not a lot of guys who can really set up the offense and create for other players. This team is incredibly flawed, very poorly put together, and they're not winning a medal. To hell with the bronze, they are not winning a medal. That's what I'm giving my bad weekend to.
I was going to give my bad weekend to the U.S. national team as well because they were horrible against France. But don't worry, I found the problem with the team. Did you see your boy Jason Tatum go out there?
Oh, they got other problems.
Jason Tatum, 3 of 9, his plus minus, 0. The team would be better. He was better sitting on the bench watching. Talking about a guy who can't create a shot for others. He's dribbling around acting like Kobe, but ain't making buckets. I don't understand why he's on the roster. I don't understand why Jeremy Grant's on the roster. You're right about Draymond. He's supposed to be the defensive stopper, but he can't stop a nosebleed right now. And they have literally no big men. None. Bam Adebayo was a fun story in the bubble because he played great and he helped propel the team all the way to the finals. But he can't stop Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert has one post move. It's called dunking. Just get in the way. Just get in the way of that big man. This team's horrible. They're not going to medal. It's going to be awful. And then we're going to have a redeem team part duh.
That's going to be great. That's going to be great. Though. That's going to be great.
That's going to be fun. But that's going to be 4 years of conversation of what went wrong. It was just, I wish they had like a Luka or a Trae Young. I know they can't have Luka.
Did you see Luka against Argentina? My goodness. I didn't watch the game live because it was early in the morning, but I watched the highlights when I woke up today. NBC Sports, they actually do a really good job of just condensing everything you need to watch in the Olympics in like 5-minute bites. So that's how I've been watching the Olympics. I've just been watching it that way.
Yeah, because you can't find it on their regular channels. It's an absolute nightmare to try to find their things.
The only thing I watched live is I watched Katie Ledecky last night. I watched her when she came in second.
That wasn't live.
Oh, that
was last night. It's on tape delay because that's in the morning. It's like 6 a.m. in Tokyo.
Oh, I didn't know who won. I think it might have been live because it said live on the screen, and then right after it happened on ESPN on the bottom line, they updated it.
Maybe I'm wrong about Ledecky, but there is stuff where it's like they're taped.
No, 100%. Everything you see in the morning is taped. Everything in the morning is taped. But I do think yesterday the swimming was live. I could be wrong. I do think the swimming was live. Before we catch up with Dini Matthews, I do want to make this point really quickly, Rob, before we hit to our found on the internet, because I don't really find things on the internet the same way anymore. But I did look this up because I was really curious. So last week, Space Jam came out. It was a big thing. And this week, it was that M. Night Shyamalan movie, right? Old. There was some other movie that came out this week, too. Second week movie is over. I think we saw it with your movie, Black Widow. You're a big Marvel person. Right now, the movie theaters work these two ways. Either you just sell it to a streaming service and people can watch it for free. So HBO Max, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, either they go on those streaming services and watch the movies, and those movies get good attention. Remember when Coming to America, people watch that. People are certainly watching the movies on HBO Max, or they're watching it on Disney Premier Access, where $60 million were generated for Black Widow, or they go see it in the first week at the theater. You remember how you could go on like a really strong, like, that's over. If you don't get your money in the first 72 hours of your movie being released, you ain't making movies like that anymore, which makes me then wonder about the future of movies. How do you get these big budgets back? For example, Space Jam. Space Jam costs roughly $150 million for them to make. If you're not going to make $150 million in the box office, do you make movies like that anymore? Or do you figure out a way to make that $150 million movie for like $80 million and then you try to hit a profit in that way? But the days of having two or three really strong weeks of the theater that you could make $200, $225 million, that time's over. Unless you're an established franchise. You got to be a Marvel movie. You got to be a superhero movie. Or you got to have a big-time director attached to it who has name recognition and cachet. Because you're not doing two good weeks anymore. You'll do a great first week. But after that, if your movie is not on streaming, people are going to wait because they just get turned over faster than they used to. It used to be, Rob, remember you and I were growing up, it was like a 4 to 6 month wait for the DVD. Now it's 21 days and it's right there on your television if you really want to watch the movie. The movie theater is changing right before our eyes. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about Alex Gordon Day at the K on Saturday and the possibility that the Royals could trade Whit Merrifield. That's next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!